Lolo was there to greet us, a few pounds heavier, a bushy mustache now hovering over his smile. He hugged my mother, hoisted me up into the air, and told us to follow a small, wiry man who was carrying our luggage, straight past the long line at customs and into an awaiting car. The car was borrowed, Lolo told us, but he had bought a brand new motorcycle, a Japanese make, but good enough for now. The new house was finished, just a few touch-ups remained to be done. I was already enrolled in a nearby school, and the relatives were anxious to meet us. As he and my mother talked, I stuck my head out the backseat window and stared at the passing landscape, brown and green uninterrupted, villages falling back into forest, the smell of diesel oil and wood smoke. Men and women stepped like cranes through the rice paddies, their faces hidden by their wide straw hats. A boy, wet and slick as an otter, sat on the back of a dumb-faced water buffalo, whipping its haunches with a stick of bamboo. The streets became more congested, small stores and markets and men pulling carts loaded with gravel and timber. Then the buildings grew taller, like buildings in Hawaii. Hotel Indonesia, very modern, Lolo said, and the new shopping center, white and gleaming. But only a few were higher than the trees that now cooled the road. When we passed a row of big houses with high hedges and sentry posts, my mother said something I couldn't entirely make out, something about the government and a man named Sukarno. Who's Sukarno? I shouted from the back seat, but Lolo appeared not to hear me. Instead, he touched my arm and motioned ahead of us. Look, he said, pointing upward. There, standing astride the road, was a towering giant at least 10 stories tall, with the body of a man and the face of an ape. That's Hanuman, Lolo said as we circled the statue, the monkey god. I turned around in my seat, mesmerized by the solitary figure, so dark against the sun, poised to leap into the sky as puny traffic swirled around its feet. He's a great warrior, Lolo said firmly, strong as 100 men. When he fights the demons, he's never defeated. The house was in a still-developing area on the outskirts of town. The road ran over a narrow bridge that spanned a wide brown river. As we passed, I could see villagers bathing and washing clothes along the steep banks below. The road then turned from tarmac to gravel to dirt, as it wound past small stores and whitewashed bungalows until it finally petered out into the narrow footpath of the kampong. The house itself was modest, stucco and red tile, but it was open and airy, with a big mango tree and a small courtyard in front. As we passed through the gate, Lolo announced that he had a surprise for me, but before he could explain, we heard a deafening howl from high up in the trees. My mother and I jumped back with a start and saw a big hairy creature with a small flat head and long, menacing arms drop into a low branch. A monkey, I shouted. An ape, my mother corrected. Lolo drew a peanut from his pocket and handed it to the animal's grasping fingers. His name is Tata, he said. I brought him all the way from New Guinea for you. I started to step forward to get a closer look, but Tata threatened to lunge, his dark-ringed eyes fierce and suspicious. I decided to stay where I was. Don't worry, Lolo said, handing Tata another peanut. He's on a leash. Come, there's more. I looked up at my mother, and she gave me a tentative smile. In the backyard, we found what seemed like a small zoo. Chickens and ducks running every which way, a big yellow dog with a baleful howl, 2 birds of paradise, a white cockatoo, and finally 2 baby crocodiles, half submerged in a fenced-off pond towards the edge of the compound. Lolo stared down at the reptiles. There were 3, he said, but the biggest one crawled out through a hole in the fence, slipped into somebody's rice field, and ate one of the man's ducks. We had to hunt it by torchlight.